Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry now presents The Bible on Trial, a show that tests the teachings of Christianity against the words and the teachings that Jesus Christ gave to his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth. Join us for a challenging and unique study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Dennis, and I am here with Rick Sterling in studio with Dr. Don and Larry on the phone. And we are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule on this October 28, 2022. To join us for our program, The Bible on Trial. We will get started in just a moment, but before we do, I want to encourage you to go to our primary website, which is located at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church. You can just type in Spirit of the Church, and it will take you right there. We also have lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling, and he has started writing again, and so we're gonna be posting some more stuff here in a little bit. We have a secondary website. It is located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SSM. There you will be able to read writing by Rick and some of the rest of us in the ministry. There's lots of good writing there and good research material, and we encourage you to go there. Our Facebook ministry page is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group, and it's under groups. It's just Spirit of Truth Ministry, and you can find us there. There's lots of good reading each week. I put a episode info, little 2,000 character writing up there. Today's writing is entitled Distractions, and I encourage you to do that. We also have a game going on. The game is What Did Jesus Say?, where about three or four times a week so far I am posting a Bible verse. And it is your job as the astute listener to decide whether or not Jesus actually said what I have put up on the game board for What Did Jesus Say? There is a rules of the game down a little ways since it was posted about a week ago. And you can go there and read the rules and just have some fun. It's turned out to be quite an interesting little experiment, and we encourage you to go there and participate. Let's have prayer, and we will get started with our day. Thank you, Father, Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, for being not only with us, but through your Holy Spirit and through your words actually in us. That brings us into the same condition that Jesus is with the Father. And I pray, Father, that you will, instead of conferring righteousness on us as we have been told, I pray, Father, that you will develop righteousness in us through the words of Jesus Christ, through the words of the law, through the words of the prophets. So we can enter the kingdom of God. And I thank you for this and helping us to learn how to do this on this program today in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning. Let me do a little clicking here before we get started. Good morning, Dr. Don. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. As good as I can.
Wonderful.
Sitting here at a quiet kitchen table. Sipping on some hot beverage and waiting for a great program.
I hope that hot beverage is a good cup of coffee, Don.
That's what it
or
is.
Hot chocolate.
That's what it is. I hesitate to say posting because it would really kill a lot of people in the world off because you didn't have no clue what that is.
Yeah, I grew up with Postum.
Yeah. And Larry, good morning, and how are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing fine.
Wonderful. And we hope to see you tomorrow. So, Rick, you're off and running.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Dennis, for the words of encouragement. And yes, I am really, I've never been a writer. I will admit to that. It's not something I ever thought I was going to have to do or need to do. And but I am doing it, and I can speak all day long, but writing is another. It is another thing, but I am trying to write more, and I am posting on our Facebook ministry page, and I just put something on there yesterday. I'm trying to keep it to 5 minutes or less reading time. So I'm making
it's op-ed length.
Yes.
Op-ed length.
So if you can follow along with when I post, I'm going to try and post it as soon as I can. But it is important information. And I know there are some people on our Facebook page who are not on Blog Talk Radio and vice versa. But we are very, very close. I can just feel it. And all of you who have been regularly listening to these broadcasts and those who are on our Facebook page, I believe the time is just about here, if it is not already here, where God will be requiring service from you. Because you have taken the time to learn his words. And it will be highly suggested that you help share those words, particularly in your country in which you live.
You know, Rick, it's interesting that all of us here have experiences where we just talk to somebody and all of a sudden a topic opens and we are able to testify to the words of Jesus. Happened to me happened to me yesterday. I don't often take time at work because they want us to keep going with customers, but this guy came up to me and said, he and I've known each other for years there, and he just came up and said, Dennis, I just want to let you know that I do believe that you're a man of God, and I appreciate, you know, all the insights that you give me from time to time. And I said, well, it's not me, it's the words of Jesus. And what I do, the only thing I'm doing is I am telling you what Jesus said. So when, you know, we have these little discussions, it's all about the words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples while he was here on earth in the flesh. And it kind of started him. And just his disciples? I mean, what about Paul? What about other writers in the New Testament? And I said, well, they're there.
But if you want to know the truth, you have to go to the source of truth, and the source of truth is the words of Jesus Christ. Well, but Paul was made an apostle on the road to Damascus, and I just quietly said, well, is there proof of that in what you have read, in what Paul wrote about it? Is there proof of what happened? Well, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be in the Bible. See what we go through? This is exactly what we go through. And all I said, you know, I don't have time to go into this with you right now, but just suffice it to say that what I use as my source of truth are the words that Jesus gave to his own disciples. And I have a verse I'd like you to read. It's Matthew 17:20. If you can go home and read that, and read that passage a few verses before that, you will find out what Jesus said about the words that he gave his own disciples, okay? He says, fine, I'll do that. So, I mean, we have a chance to testify to this, okay? And I find it fascinating that what you are now writing, and I read it last night, what you have posted, it's very short, it's very concise, and it did elicit a emoji response from one of the people that we have known for years and years, which is a sad face with a tear in it. Okay, so you're hitting home to people, Rick, when you write this. And yes, in the beginning, your writing skills were less than professional. But now I must tell you, I consider you a professional writer.
Well, thank you for your kind words.
I used to have to spend hours editing, and now I don't. I will edit, but it doesn't take much. A misspelled word that you forgot to, you know, spell check didn't catch, or that sort of thing. But you are a good writer, and people should read it.
Thank you. The first text to open our study comes from Revelation chapter 12. And just to draw your attention to the main characters and the theme of Revelation 12, so that as we go through our study, you will already have in your mind what God was giving John when he gave John the words to write down in Revelation. And he wrote down what he heard and what he saw. And he says that. And he said that he, for all intents and purposes, swears that he wrote down only what he heard and what he saw.
You know, Rick, let's just quick, like, I want to read just the two verses that that Jesus said while he was here on earth that confirm what you just said, okay? And that is John 17:20-21. I do not ask on behalf of these alone. He's praying for his disciples. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their words, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. So what John heard, Jesus said, would be his words. And John said he heard it, so you can count on it.
And while you have that there, do you want to read 14:26?
Sure, absolutely.
I believe that's the one I want.
Okay. And here we go. John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, she will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. Now, how does this fit in with what we were just saying?
Well, so when John writes down what he saw and what he heard, and he swears that this is what I saw and what I heard, then who did he hear it from?
The Holy Spirit. Correct. And it is, and see, again, you talk to Christians about the Holy Spirit, and they say, oh, yes, I have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in me. Well, how do you know? Well, because he speaks to me occasionally and tells me things. Or I just feel it. Okay? Where's the proof?
I'll tell you where the proof is. If what the Holy Spirit told them was a lie, that's the proof.
Right. Absolutely.
So Revelation 12, there are two main characters. There is a woman, and there is a great red dragon. Now, the woman gives birth to a man-child, a son. And the dragon is waiting for the birth of this son, of this woman, to swallow him. But the son is taken up into the heavens and to God, where he sits down beside God, his Father, on his throne to rule the nations with a rod of iron. The woman is also in the heavens, as is the dragon. So this woman is not a flesh and blood woman, because a flesh and blood woman could not live in the heavens. The woman must be representing something or someone who is involved in the birth of the Son of God.
And the battle that is going on. And the last book of the Bible contains proof, and so does the first book, Genesis 3:15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman. The you is the snake, the serpent. And between your seed and her seed. What is that seed? Is it a physical thing? No, this is spiritual. All of this is spiritual. So between the seed of Satan and the seed of this woman, he shall bruise you on the head and you shall bruise him on the heel. Who is that woman?
But it's
the same woman described in Revelation 12.
It shall crush your head, you shall bruise its heel. That's how it is in the Jerusalem Bible. And I looked it up, and the word can be he, she, and it, which is, you know, the same way. I mean, in conjugation, I've been doing a lot of Spanish language studies for the last 5 or 6 years, just online, so I'm not fluent yet. I should be, but I'm not. But I can get by. In conjugating verbs or nouns, whatever, well, conjugating verbs, the noun is the I, you, he, she, it. And then we and them. the reason that the Jerusalem Bible conjugates that last phrase and puts it instead of he or she is because the Hebrew word doesn't have the gender. It can be any or none at all. And the other reason that I would accept that it would be it, because what it is talking about is the kingdom of God. And that does not have gender. It's a place or a thing. What they are describing in Revelation is the war, which is the subject of an article that I have started. I have about 5 articles that I've started, and that's kind of how my mind works. But it's talking about the war for the heavens and the earth. And it is for the kingdom of God that this war is fought. So we have the woman, and this woman in Revelation 12 is the same woman that Dennis just read in Genesis. Now you say, wait a minute, that woman is Eve. No, that woman is not Eve, because Eve is not alive at the time when Revelation is written. And this woman is in the heavens. This woman is in the heavens. And Eve is not the mother of all human beings. And I'm not going to get into that. I know that Adam called her Eve because she's the mother of all living. But he doesn't seem to specify what all that means, because there were people living that had no relationship to Eve. So there's a woman, a great red dragon, and the sun. Then it goes through how the dragon was trying to eat the firstborn of this woman. And then it talks about the woman escaped into the wilderness, where God had made a place of safety ready for her to be looked after in the 1260 days. So where is this place prepared for the woman? And who is this woman? Well, the woman must be the Holy Spirit. And here is the certain proof of that. It is in Revelation 12:17. Then the dragon was enraged with the woman and went away to make war on the last, some say rest of her offspring, some say last, some versions say the remnant of her children. That is, all who obey God's commandments and bear witness for Jesus. Now, if you bear witness for Jesus, you bear witness for the Son of God. What does that mean? Now, Dennis just asked a question on our Facebook page, and it was actually the first question that he asked. So if you are bearing witness for the Son of God, what are you bearing witness to? The same thing he bore witness to, the truth. Now, when the Son of God said to Pilate that for this reason I was born and came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and all who are of the truth hear my voice. And Pilate said, what is truth? So to Pilate, truth didn't exist. Truth was whatever your emperor said that it was. Truth was whatever the one in charge said that it was. Truth was rarely used because you can't really control people by using the truth. You control people through lies. That's what the devil does. That's how the dragon works. That's what the dragon did in the garden. That serpent, the ancient serpent, the devil. He was in the garden. He didn't tell the woman the truth. He lied. But it was a carefully crafted lie. He used what I call word magic. You know, words are powerful. God used his words to create everything that we have. You talk about power. That's power. Words are powerful. Words have the ability to give us eternal life or eternal death. And guess who determines that? Who determines whether we have the words of eternal life in us and therefore have eternal life, or the words of eternal death, and therefore we will ultimately be as if we had never existed. Were you going to say something, Dennis?
You do. You have to put those words in your heart and in your mind. If you believe a lie as if it is the truth, then when the truth is revealed to you and you do not accept it, then you are held accountable. And that's what you just talked about right there.
So, in Revelation 12, we have a woman, the Holy Spirit. We have the great red dragon, and the ruler of that kingdom is the ancient serpent, the devil, and Satan, the same being. We have the firstborn son of the woman who goes up to God's throne. So he is the son of the Father, who is God. The reason I can say that he is the Son of God is because his mother is God and his father is God. And he is a male child according to the text. And he is given an iron rod to rule the nations. And that is that he is a king. He has a kingdom, and the kingdom is on the earth, which is where he came from when he went up to the Father. Now, there are two wars that are fought. Or the other is the last of the offspring of the woman. There are two wars that are fought. there's a war in the heavens where the dragon, and let's read that because this is an important point. So starting with verse 7 of Revelation 12. And now war broke out in the heavens when Michael and his angels attacked the dragon. So who started the war? Michael and his angels started the war by attacking the dragon. What gave him the right to attack the dragon, and when did this happen?
He had the right because the being that was being attacked was trying to usurp the power of God.
Well, this war took place in the heavens.
Correct.
It didn't take place on earth. It took place in the heavens. So what exactly happened? I mean, why are Michael and his angels now attacking the dragon? What happened? Why did they wait until that time? Why didn't they do that in the beginning? Why didn't they do it before the garden? Why didn't they take care of this before? I will answer that question, but it's an important question to have an answer for. John, chapter 16, and let's start with verse 8. Actually, let's start with verse 7. He has said that none of you asked me where are you going. You are sad at heart because I have told you this. Still, I must tell you the truth. It is for your own good that I am going, because unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I do go, I will send her to you, and when she comes, she will show the world how wrong it was about sin and about who was in the right and about judgment. So who is this advocate? I don't think anyone has any doubt about who the advocate is that he said he promised that he would send when he went back to his father. You also may wonder, well, why does he need to send the Holy Spirit to continue on the work? Why didn't he just stay and continue on the work? Well, there's a couple of reasons at least. One is he's still in human form. And if he had stayed here on earth where everyone could see him generation after generation after generation after generation, well, I think you can understand why that wouldn't work. The reason he's sending the Holy Spirit is because she is invisible. She is invisible, and I believe even invisible to the evil spirits. She is visible only to God and her son. Yet she can still communicate words even though she is not visible. I can tell you for certain that she can teach you without you hearing anything. She works within your mind to help give you the discernment, the understanding that you need to know what the words of her husband, God, the Father, and her son. She can give you the understanding of what those words mean. I will send her to you, and when she comes, she will show the world how wrong it was about sin, about who was in the right, and last, about judgment. About sin, proved by their refusal to believe in me. There is a very important first statement. About sin, proved by their, T-H-E-I-R, refusal to believe in me. Now, I have given studies, presentations on what believing in him is confirmed by. Believing in the Son of God is not a mere statement of belief in the reality of his existence. It is believing in his testimony, the words he said, not the words anybody else said, claiming to be speaking and getting their information from God himself. No. Why would God himself give his son the words that he is to bring to earth, speak in the presence of thousands of witnesses, and say, this is the truth, this is what you need to know to have eternal life? And then after he goes back to his father decides, oh, you know, I'm going to change things up a little bit, so I need to contact this guy that's killing those who believe in the words of my son and say, look, I've decided that I'm going to give the Gentiles a whole different way to be saved and have eternal life, and it has nothing to do with the truth. Really? Now, you cannot believe in the Son of God that he died to free you from the law, so that you can be saved, because you can't keep the law. Why on earth would he do that? He was put to death by his father in place of the man and the woman in the garden who were not put to death when God said that's what would happen if they ever ate from that tree. And he shed his blood for forgiveness of sin. But there is a limit to forgiveness, and he let that be known. So about sin, proved by their refusal to believe in me. About who was in the right, proved by my going to the Father and your seeing me no more. About judgment, proved by the prince of this world being already condemned.
Now, I find it fascinating with that last statement, the prince of this world. How many Christians do you know that believe that Jesus is the prince of this world and controls everything, aspect of their lives, as long as they can believe? You see, Jesus never taught that.
Now, there is judgment. That statement, proved by the prince of this world being already condemned. Now, it's not just him. It's every being, spiritual being, angel, and human being, who believes in the devil. Wait a minute. Ah, you say, I don't believe in the devil. Well, did the scribes and the priests in Israel believe in God or believe in the devil? Well, now, according to them, their own words, which are recorded in John chapter 8. First, they were confronting the Son of God about what he was saying, and the truth about what he was saying, and that he had no authority to teach. So, verse 39 of John chapter 8, they, the priests, scribes, Pharisees, that whole clique, they repeated, "Our father is Abraham." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would do," see that, actions, "as Abraham did. As it is, you want to kill me when I tell you the truth." Why did they want to kill him? Because that's the ultimate censorship. If you can't get them to shut up, and if you can't convince those who are listening not to listen, the only other option you have is to put them out of your misery.
And that is called murder.
The truth, as I have learnt it from God, that is not what Abraham did. What you are doing is what your father does. I want you to pay special attention to what he is saying here and then how he proves that what he is saying is absolutely accurate, truthful, and applicable. If God were your father, you would love me. Since I have come here from God. Yes, I have come from him. Not that I came because I chose. No. I was sent and by him. Do you know why you cannot take in what I say? It is because you are unable to understand my language, my words, my teachings. The devil is your father. And you prefer to do what your father wants. He was a murderer from the start. He was never grounded in the truth. There is no truth in him at all. When he lies, he's drawing on his own store. Because he is a liar, and here it comes, and the father of lies. But as for me, I speak the truth, and for that very reason, you do not believe me. Can one of you convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? A child of God listens to the words of God. If you refuse to listen, it is because you are not God's children. If the shoe fits,
owie,
wear it. You see, the Son of God attacked the devil, the dragon, and his angels because he had paid the price by allowing himself to be put to death by his father in the place of the man and the woman in the garden all those years ago.
And was he put to death for the world surrounding the garden, for the people of the world surrounding the garden? No. Only the people who were in the garden.
But the couple in the garden had a responsibility for the people around the garden, the people of the whole world, because they were to be the progenitors of the kingdom of the righteous, and through them, the whole world would learn the truth that they had been deceived by someone who was trying to make himself to be a god, and he was no god at all, and never would be the god of the world. But God follows a lawful process according to the law of the heavens. And the law of the heavens allowed that God could attack, make war on Lucifer, the devil, Satan. But he needed to have a kingdom of his own that was not the same as the kingdom that the devil had. And what I mean by that is, the devil had deceived the whole world, and they were living, practicing, worshiping a lie. The lie that the devil had started. The devil said he was the God that had created the world. And the devil had made the nations war with each other. The devil was teaching them all of the magical arts, as well as agriculture, architecture. I'm sure you have seen the ancient stone ruins of Pumapunku, the structures that Machu Picchu, the pyramids, and Göbekli Tepe in Turkey. All these The technology involved in building with those massive stones isn't even, they can't even do it today. They don't even have the technology to do it today. So it wasn't until Michael, who was now known as, well, it wasn't until Michael, who is the Son of God, he was Michael, but then he was the Messiah, anointed one, the Son of God and Son of Man, returned to his Father, that he could make war against the dragon in the heavens. And he was driven out of the heavens. Why? Because the dragon could not deceive a majority of the angels. He only deceived a third. Now, you need to ask yourself, well, you don't need to, but ask yourself this question. How is it that he could deceive angels? These are beings who know who created them, who know what the truth is, and yet they believed Lucifer. They believed the liar. Why? Because he offered them power, authority, things that he really had no right to offer.
An advancement of station within the ranks of the angels.
And I think he had managed to convince them that if they tried really hard, worked diligently, they could secure the earth for their own domain. And the way that they would accomplish this is they would get every human, every person on earth so convinced that they, these evil angels, were their gods, and through censorship, word magic, and sometimes force.
Yeah, sometimes coercion.
They would keep, well, and by offering power and authority and great wealth to those who would be most useful in keeping the sheep in line and believing the lies. And that by doing this, the one thing that they really needed to keep from happening is allowing God to establish a kingdom on the earth. Because as soon as God would have a kingdom on the earth, that was it. They knew that their days would be numbered as soon as God had a kingdom on the earth. Now, the devil was very successful with God's first two attempts to establish a kingdom on earth. Very successful. In fact, it was so successful that, and as I've read that text many times in Matthew 21, he informed the chief priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, that they had, by their refusal to perform their God-given mandate to become God's kingdom, and they had, and the way that they would do that is to learn righteousness and practice righteousness, Yet they refused, and then their king was standing there in front of them, and what were they doing? They were plotting to kill him so they could have the kingdom. And who do you think was behind that? That dragon, that ancient serpent, the devil. But I know that God has a kingdom in the end of days. And my friends, we are in those end of days, and we are in the end of the end of days.
Yeah.
Daniel 2, verses 34 and 35. While you were gazing, a stone broke away, untouched by any hand, and struck the statue, struck its feet of iron and earthenware, and shattered them. And then iron and earthenware, bronze, silver, gold, all broke into small pieces as fine as chaff on the threshing floor in summer. The wind blew them away, leaving not a trace behind. And the stone that had struck the statue grew into a great mountain, filling the whole earth. Now verse 44. In the time of these kings, the kings of the feet, the mixture of kingdoms, the days we're in right now, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and this kingdom will not pass into the hands of another race, because it had already done that once. It will shatter and absorb all the previous kingdoms and itself last forever. Just as you saw the stone untouched by hand break from the mountain and shatter the iron, bronze, earthenware, silver, and gold, the great God has shown the king what is to take place.
Rick, Dr. Don would like to make a little comment here. Go ahead, Don.
Okay, please. A few minutes ago, Rick said two attempts. For the benefit of our new listeners, would you list what those two attempts were?
Two attempts? The two attempts?
Yeah, it was Israel. When they went into the promised land, and they refused, and then when God kicked them off the land, he says, I'll give you one more chance. He restored them back to the southern kingdom back. He wanted to restore the northern kingdom, but that wasn't going to happen, wasn't being allowed to happen. And they refused until their king is standing in front of them. And he said, the kingdom of God is taken away from you and will be given to a people who will produce the fruit of it. And real quick, Matthew 17, and we'll read verse 11. True, he replied, Elijah is to come to see that everything is once more as it should be. We know this Elijah is the one who will restore God's authority over the whole world to see that everything is once more as it should be. And these are the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. That was a great study. We encourage you to join us tomorrow, 10 a.m., same place, for another edition of The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. Please go to our websites, primarily spiritoftruthministry.net. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy Friday, a good day, and we'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you. So long for now.